Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today, we have a free Content and Cash Plus preview episode just to show you how we get down. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Content and Cash on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So I want to welcome everybody to the after hour real quick. While we still got we got Ricky on the line to kind of ask some questions and chop it up. And if you guys have some sports photography questions.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
I would say definitely jump in.
You're listening to Content and Cash Plus, a Flash Film Academy podcast. This podcast is for contenders, not pretenders. This is where creatives learn what it takes to dominate the industry with your host, Ty Turner.
Real quick, while we give people time to come into the room, what's the overall goal for HBCU Sports Wire? Like, what do you have in mind? Like, what's you know, where do you want to take it?
Well, I'm hoping that I can take it to Getty Image. Getty Images is the standard for stock photography websites, basically. So that's what I'm trying to do, trying to get it to a point to where, you know, we are who everybody goes to when they need a HBCU sports image. We're trying to be that. That's who we're trying to be.
And how did you come up with the logo and the design idea of it, the look, I guess, of your brand?
The logo, I got it done at it's something that you had put me onto years ago where you pay an amount of money and then a bunch of designers design it.
Yep, 99 Designs.
And so basically that's what I did, and I just picked the one I liked. And I know I wanted to go with like a badge type look logo. So That's basically what I did. I had a bunch of designers design something, and I picked what I liked.
That's dope. Yeah. I liked them. It's just, I've always gotten good logos when I did it that way instead of paying one person. At least, you know what I'm saying? You get to disqualify people who trying to feed you, you know, some clip art that they found. And it's funny because, man, they tried to feed me some clip art, and everybody who got the word Flash in their logo, I see them, they fell for that clip art. Like, it's a few people I see that's Flash, whatever. And they got the same logo they tried to feed me. And I was like, nah, bro, that's not going to happen. I'm going to put you up on. I got a guy for you that creates custom video intros. Remind me later offline to put you up on him.
Okay.
Especially for like your shorts, just something quick to come on. It's just, dude's dope. He's working on something. He's working on something serious for me. And we'll get into that a little later. But I'll let, if there's some gold members, a few of them still popping in, if they got questions, you know, feel free to jump in and ask questions. I'm trying to see what else. What's some other good questions about, you know, what was it like being that close to Coach Prime?
For me, I mean, it's everything. That's my favorite person. I mean, if, you know, all my businesses have Prime in the name, except for the HBCU Sports Wire. So he's like basically my inspiration. That's my favorite player, you know, ever. So I've been following him since I was a teenager. So to be that close to him, you know, of course, got to show a little bit of tact. But it's awesome to be able to work and be right there beside somebody who you admire from afar for so many years.
What is your dream game to shoot or dream team to shoot? I think I know the answer, but if you could shoot any team anywhere.
I don't really have a dream team. I mean, I would say my team, the Buccaneers, I would like to shoot some images and have some stuff of them because I'm a fan. But the events, the Super Bowl is one on my bucket list. And the Olympics
yeah.
is another one that's on my bucket list. Those two for sure are up there. I would like to remember we talked about
the
one when it said the one in Dubai, yep, yep. you know, trying to hit it, but yep. it's still not out of the realm of the possibility. We'll see.
I'm ready now.
You know, if I got some HBCU people running in the Olympics, that's how I can get in. So,
yeah.
you know, we, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that. Definitely down for that. I think it was another question I was going to ask when you said that. My answer was going to be Florida State. That's why I thought, you know what I'm saying, it was been like the dream team to shoot sideline.
Yeah, that's my team. That's my team as well.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Craig. I wasn't interrupting. I'm driving. Forgive me. Man, I graduated from North Carolina Central. I got to meet Deion once.
That's dope. Yeah,
we just had a photographer at North Carolina Central in that Campbell game. We had a photographer at that game.
Yeah,
that's dope. It's dope meeting people on the sidelines out here. That time we was going down, I was standing in the elevator and didn't even know who he's in there with. You know what I'm saying? We was in there with
Roy Williams,
and we just sitting there chilling like, this guy looked familiar, but, and you like, man, you know who that is? I'm like, I think. And we ended up getting good pictures with him and everything. It's good times. What I was going to say, you know, when you talk about just the business side and monetizing things a little bit, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to go. Like this is his venture, his business. He's investing in growing this business with major upside, right? So just like with everything, it's going to require some investment, whether it's time, money, you know what I'm saying, flight points, whatever. But he's building a brand that has major upside. I mean, we're talking about something that, you know, Getty may come in and say, look, bro, we'll give you, you know, $200 million for your archive and what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's you know, I like that's always been my approach. I'm a pathfinder. I don't wait till people give me an opportunity. I go create my own opportunity. And that's just how I roll, you know what I'm saying? Or just how we roll, really, because we've always been like that. Even in the right. military, we've been looking for ways to create our own path and do things using the resources that we have. So
right.
I always tell people, if you have a passion or if you love something, you know, you can still do what you got to do to make money, but make sure you create your own path and invest in that, especially if it's along the lines of content. What has right. been your biggest struggle with creating a brand?
Well, with this, the biggest struggle is now with the HPU Sports Wire is just basically getting your name out there and letting people understand the business. Like people in that particular realm don't understand the editorial content creation type business because they just don't have the resources. They've never probably even looked to buy images for a story or anything like that. The guys they have out there, they got an old guy who graduated from the school in 1967, and he looked like he has the same camera he bought in 67, and he's out there trying to shoot images. And you know when somebody really don't know what they're doing, and you can look at them like, man, that stuff's going to look terrible. But again, that's all they had. That's all they had to really work with, so they had to kind of like deal with it. But so that's the challenge, is getting your name out there. And once your name is out there, because the name is out there based on the because when I go to places, they're like, oh, man, I watch your stuff online and blah, blah, blah. So people know who we are. But the people who I need to know who we are, like the sports information directors and the athletic directors and the local newspapers and the local news. And those are the people that I need to know that need to know who I am. And that's when the revenue will start coming in, because I just don't think they know it's there, because they can't always travel or send a photographer on away games or certain games. But we may have those images in our archive and they can use them. So just building that part up is definitely a challenge, but you know, I'm up for it.
Yeah, because once the faucet opens, it's all day, every day. So and I wanna kinda simplify it for those who, you know, we always talk about stock photography, right? We always talk about selling the stock photography sites and the residual income. This gentleman is creating his own stock photography site in a place where only he has images for the media or anybody who wants to report on this historical event. So kind of think about how significant that is, and what he's offering. So, you know, he has kind of a, I don't want to even call it a monopoly, but it, you have the ability to create original content that you can't get from no other place, that a lot of news outlets are starting to use and need and, you know, and take advantage of. So to be first in is just, you know, is great. Let's see. Okay. We're talking about got a few wins coming in. Okay. Hold them win. We're going to, yeah, bring them. You can post them wins. You can, I like to hear that. So, you know, I think it's important that you guys start to think, you know, again, this is something that's scratching the entrepreneurial side, the business side, getting that part of, you know, your mind thinking and getting it thinking with the understanding of what you love to do. How can I make money from what I love to do? This is how. So, any other sports questions, sports photography questions?
I got a question. This is Craig. Sorry, I'm still driving.
Oh, no, you good. Go for it, Ron.
So it is my, and I mean, my experience in my little bitty world, right? That we, for whatever reason, don't value. We'd rather spend our money on other things, even though you see that we, from a numbers perspective, from football and basketball, we are the majority, right? I just don't understand how it is we don't. I find generally that we don't want to spend money on memories, on imagery, on content.
I think, I don't know whose stuff that is. Okay, I think I know what it is. So I think that the thing is this, and because of that, we don't target the audience, right? We're not doing B2C. We're doing more B2B. There are businesses that need to talk about the game. There's a lot of money in sports betting. There's a lot of money in apparel. There's a lot of money in news stations that want to cover events. Like, that is the target audience and stuff. I mean, yeah, you can go on there and buy a picture of your cousin that plays for, you know, Southern or something like that. Yeah, that's cool. And that, and there's always an opportunity to make sales there, but that's not who who we're going after with this particular business model. You know, I mean, what if a company say, hey, you know, we want to create trading cards for HBCU schools, but we don't have photographers. We're not there to capture images. They'll probably buy images from your brand, yep, and create it from there. Yeah.
Yep.
So, and like I said, you got to keep in mind, all it takes is 1, 2, 3, 4 of these players to go NFL and be great. And now they're looking for old archive stuff from college, you know. You know, so this is a long game.
Yep. When you're doing archival footage, archival images and things like that, you got to play the long game with it, because you can think about it. Like, if they're doing a story on Walter Payton that he went to Jackson State, they're going to go all, they got to go all
starting
the way back
walking directions to West Jackson State Street
image. You know what I mean? And whoever, I mean, those images are still like $500 and $600 that they took in 85. You know what I mean? So.
Somebody sitting somewhere, they took it with a black and white camera or some old, yep, Rebel.
Long game.
And, yep, and the money's just coming in. So you start to build it. And if you build it, they will come in. I mean, you think about it. You could probably sell a subscription service. You can sell individual pictures. You can do a lot of things once you have a lot of content. So that's the goal, is to build the brand and invest the time in making sure that you can just have a bucket of content, and the content is fast and accurate. And then, you know, you can make money off of it. A lot of companies do. Go for it, Crichton.
All right. You know, just kind of jump on that with y'all about talking about archival stuff. I think it was Pac-10 called me probably about 4 or 5 years ago, trying to find footage of a player, which, you know, he ended up on a highlight video where his team played my high school. And I took the old VHS tape, digitized it, put it up on YouTube. And this is the only footage that they've been able to find that's been digitized of it. And unfortunately, I didn't shoot the video, so I didn't own the copyright, but and it's on my personal YouTube, not on anything professional. But these guys were ready to drop money. And they're like, can you find anybody who, I was like, dude, like these people, this was so long ago. They're the people who would know were probably already dead or in a nursing home. But the other side of it, it wasn't even the player. They were looking for it because of the player's son, who was a college player at the time. Mm-hmm. That blew my mind. Yeah, so when people start talking about archives, you know, it is a long game, and sometimes I mean, you know, think about I was eating dinner tonight, and they had a thing up about Archie Manning, you know, and obviously like right now his boys, there's a lot more fresh footage of them, but the footage of Archie playing, you know, they probably had to go back to old film strips, which I'm actually digitizing it for my own archive, But yeah, I mean, it's crazy once you start looking at how, you know, this access creates a, it's not just anybody can get these shots that Ricky's going after and making. And, you know, I'm trying to think, it's rare what's being created. And that rarity eventually, if you're lucky, will have the right level of value. But that there's my two cents.
I think it's dope because being the fact that he's covering an area where it's getting very little coverage. I mean, you're not seeing ESPN at these games every day. It's a gold mine, right? He's in a lane of like there is no competition for him, not much competition mm-hmm. for him.
Well, what I will say, I hate to interrupt you, but what I will say is that the train is picking up fast.
Yeah.
They just signed a deal with ESPN, so they are on like the ESPN Plus and the ESPN 3, and it's just, you know, a matter of time before they're on 2 in the regular ESPN. But there are more people on the sidelines now shooting. The problem is not the quality. It's not the NFL quality that the people that I have in my network can provide. So that's the difference. Jackson State might be one school that has a lot of coverage. They have redefined the way that you cover a football team. They have the number one social media out of every college, and that includes Power Five. Their stuff is they just hit you with content after content after content, and they're just killing the game the way that they do it. And they know why? Because they got young people doing it. His son is over the social media, and they just record everything. There's nothing that they don't record. So they're killing it. No college is doing what they're doing, but it's not going to be long before the other colleges just follow suit. But to you know, bring it all in, these schools don't have the line item to hire a photographer with the skills of an NFL photographer. They just don't have a line item. They just don't have the money. So a lot of times they have to rely on people who they may have, you know, break them off a little money here and there, but rely on people whoever they can get. So that's why I said I'm trying to get in and I'm trying to hit it full speed ahead. So, you know, I'm first to the party.
We're not the guys that's holding cameras like this on the sideline and don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
we're just standing straight up.
Quick question for you, Ricky.
Spoke about the old guy with the camera that is being at HBCUs. 100. I've taken one photography class. And it was my sophomore year at North Carolina Central. You know what? Looked like a pimp from Harlem Nights.
I can barely hear you, but I think your phone breaking up. But yeah, it's always. Craig, I think your phone breaking.
The teacher that we had for photography.
Oh, you said a teacher you had looked like a pimp from the Harlem Nights. He was old school. I'm trying to hear him, but your phone breaking up. It's like I'm getting every other word. I'll wait for him to come back. What you was gonna say, Crichton?
All right, so Ricky, I'm curious. Would you rather get money up front by shooting for the school, but for the university, or would you rather go in and make sure that you own all the copyright, clear all the way through?
Right now, I like it the way that I'm doing it. I like to own it all. The schools just don't have the ability to pay me what I can produce. And, you know, I'd rather them just come to me and have to pay me to license the photos versus working for the actual team. Now, Jackson State is just, like I said, they're an anomaly. They have a lot of resources because of Coach Prime. They have a team photographer. They got like 50 videographers, 50, you know, so they have people in place. But most of these schools don't have anybody that, number one, can travel. And then the guys that they do have, they just, the stuff's just not good enough. So I wouldn't want to work for the actual team. It's the same way even in professional sports. You know, a lot of people look at the NFL and it's glamorous, but those guys don't get paid a lot of money.
Sure don't.
The guy that I was working under in D.C., he might have been making 50 grand. So think about it. In D.C., the cost of living, you know, and for what he had to do, it was, I mean, he arrived at the stadium at 6 in the morning and he didn't leave to 10 and 11 at night. So it's not what you, as far as when we talk about the finance part, the financial part of it, it's not lucrative to be a team photographer for the NFL, MLB, none of them. It's not lucrative at all.
A lot of people think it is, but they get you off of your team pride. I told you, I told y'all about when I interviewed for a position with the Dallas Cowboys and they were like, "Are you a Cowboys fan?" I was like, "Nah, I'm here for the bread." He was like, and as I was walking through there, it was in the off season, and I mean, them folks were slaving. And you know how the look, they gave me the look that, you know how when you go in a place and people can't tell you you shouldn't be there, but they giving you the look like, this ain't what you want, bro. Like, everybody was, like, they was typing and they looked up like run. And they got me in there and tried to make me an offer, and I was like, you know what? Nah. Because they was like, we need a producer. They wanted me to produce content. And I got there and found out they wanted me to write, produce, research, film. I'm like, yo, that ain't a producer. I'm here to point at stuff and make stuff happen.
That cowboy gig?
Yeah. And they just like, well, we're going to give you this amount. I think, and the gig was like $120,000 gig.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, y'all ain't about to. I'm thinking I'm going to work during the on season, maybe lightly on the off season. Nah, they was like, this is year round. You get in at the crack, you leave. Now, y'all ain't about to work me like a player, and I ain't getting that check. So I was just like, when I was like, as I was backpedaling, they was like, aren't you a Cowboys fan? How about them boys? I was like, them boys ain't paying. I'm out. So yep. I was like, you ain't getting me. It ain't my, because in Dallas, if you got that star associated with your name, boy, you royalty. They don't play in Dallas. If you got anything to do with the Cowboys, boy, you are that guy. Trust me. So, but let me get to, I got a few other questions as the hands has popped up. I think, who was first between Nathan and Marcus? Nathan, you up?
I don't know if you guys will be able to hear me through,
loud and clear
through this, but just a great avenue too, like for, people that are really passionate about sports. My business partner did this and he absolutely killed it. This fall, but he hit like all the high schools and did it completely pro bono. Like the teams he made it like he would post like a really great shot and then say like, which game should I hit this week? And like leave it to the students. And the students were like hitting him up nonstop. It was improving his rankings and things and getting him in front of everyone's eyes. But then what he did is he flipped it and like was charging not a lot, like 300, 350 a pop, but to like for 30 minutes, get like some, you know, some portrait style shots of them in their sport. And he would hit one sport a day. Maybe he would hit their practice or something like that and build it like right after the practice. But he just got done. I think he did 2 months straight, like September, October. And I was like, hey, we need to meet about some stuff. He's like, all right, hit me up in November. Cause he averaged 8 shoots a day, 5 days a week for 2 months at like 350 a pop. Like he cleared, you know, $50,000-$60,000 a month just in those 2 months. And that's all he did. It was like $300, 30 minutes. You get your shots in 3 days and these kids are using them for, you know, Instagram or senior portraits or whatever. But that was, it sold like left and right. So that's like, if you're in a, if you're in like a, granted, we've got like four large schools right in our vicinity. So it was really like he pitted schools against each other, like, you know, who's going to win this match this weekend, and like get people voting and getting all the, you know, his views were skyrocketing.
What area?
Yeah, just using that. So I'm right over the border in Wisconsin. So there's like from Chicago. So we're technically like Chicago suburbs, but we're not really. But yeah, so there's like, I think three or four major schools that have about like graduating classes of like 500 to 1,000 each year. So they're like big schools, and they've got all like solid sports teams, but just finding sports teams in your area that that are really competitive, maybe, or, you know, they're just operating at a high level, and then flipping it back on them and like letting them vote like who's going to win the game, ask like which game should I come to, and if he saw like a lot of people saying the same game, he's like, okay, this one's going to be hot this week. Go out there, shoot it, and then just turned it to where like the parents were wanting to buy prints from the games, or, you know, getting portraits. I mean, I personally, I can't, I'm like, I'm happy that you're passionate about it. I'm not a sports guy, but he loves it. And he just, I mean, he was working 80 hour weeks for the past 2 months, just like, cause he was like, I could either turn him away or just keep collecting. And so he just collected doing nonstop for 2 months straight.
He was doing what he loved. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down. That sounds like that's a winner. Yeah. I'm that works for me. If I can do what I love and make the money I want, why stop? I'm going after it. That's what's up. Who else we got? I got a question. Marcus.
What's up? Driving. All right. So you, Ricky, I think you got something major. Now, even with the stock photography, right, is it's like popcorn. It's like free points, you know, free throw. Let me get one. Let me get two. Let me get three. And that's just, that's subscriptions. That's gas. Those are, better said, layups. Like, those are just easy buckets to get in, because that's just going to be constant residual stuff, because it's, you're going to have licensing with those, and that allows you to, oh, you only get the license for a year. Then you have to come back and pay it again, type notions and things. For me, that's, I do similar stuff in real estate with home builders. You don't get to use my content for forever. You only get it for a year, maybe two. That's it, because now it's changed. That goes away, and I find that to be really awesome. As I've been driving, I had a meeting, so I got to win, but I'll do that offline. But yeah, that's awesome, man.
Check out his website and look at the quality of his work. He just posted it in the chat, but it's, I mean, you know, look at the quality of the work. I mean, look at what he's bringing to these, you know, smaller colleges that they got a guy on the sideline with that. What's that one lens everybody got? All the moms have the 80 to 300. What's the one that's,
yeah,
like a F6?
That's what she had. She had a 60 to 300.
Oh man,
and it's like, you know, can't, that just F8 900.
Yeah, you got to be next to the sun to get some good shot. I got to be bright daylight, clear, no clouds to be able to shoot at a decent speed. But yeah. That's, you know, I mean, you know, but that's where it's at. That's where it's at. I mean, and the reason I wanted to definitely bring Ricky on, because I used to always say, turn passion to profit, right? It didn't come with more gear. It came with this. So, you know, what was Nathan say? What, $300 a shoe, 8 shoes a day? Excuse me. 48K. Yeah. He's making 48K a month. I'm not saying no to that. That works. That definitely works. Any other questions on this before we wrap on this? Any other questions? No. Okay. Hold on, Ricky. Sit tight. We're gonna say anybody got any wins real quick. Anybody got any W's they wanna
I gotta stand up and scratch my knee, stretch my knees. I'm old.
anybody got any W's they wanna say real quick?
I know I threw this in the chat, Ty, but
go for it.
You know, definitely, hold on, did I get another one? No. Definitely, you know, just picking up all these little sales. You know, that exactly how Nathan's saying that they all add up, you know, and so, you know, that there's just what it's all about.
Heck yeah. Definitely. Again, like I said, when you it's steps, it ain't going to be big chunks. You're not going to go from zero today to $10,000 clients tomorrow. You're going to go from zero to $300 clients to $3,000 clients to $9,000. And then that's just how it's going to work. And then you'll know how to, you know, you'll know who to go after, how to approach them, how to talk to them. And you'll know how to disqualify them too. A lot of people don't know how to disqualify clients that ain't. I don't got to get to asking your budget to know that you don't have, that you're not on a level that I'm looking to work with. I can look at how you want to solve certain problems. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can look at what your needs are. Right? Companies that have real problems, they're not asking about price. They don't care about price. They need the problem solved. And they need it solved by the right people. That's the client I want. I don't want the client. It's like, what it cost to, and what it cost to, you're not looking here. You're not looking to solve a problem. Because when you go to that emergency room and you clutching your chest and you bleeding, you're not asking the doctor about price. You're saying, fix me now. You want clients like that. And they are out there. But that never happens at Walmart, right? People go to Walmart, they go price shopping because Walmart don't specialize in nothing. They sell everything. So the only thing they specialize is a cheap price and convenience. That's why it's so important to be as niche as possible. Marcus, I know you had a win. You want to share it now or you want to share it later?
Yeah, I was waiting for the moment.
I'll go for it.
Because I know you were talking about Ricky. So I just got done with a meeting with a client that I do a lot of real estate for. He has a HVAC business, but he also is a real estate investor / builder. So it's right up my niche, right up into that. He tasked me to go find him a commercial space. And what he wants to do is build content. And I have a space now with him to build content for him and gives me a commercial space.
That's a win.
And this whole week we've been going through commercial spaces, seeing at what is best for him. And needless to say, I won't have a home office anymore, but that's okay because more than likely in about a month or 2 months, I'm going to have a commercial space where I don't have to pay any rent.
You know, that's been a thing. I got approached by a company recently about that. Two companies actually was like, look, just shoot a little social media for us and we'll give you this whole half of the warehouse. Like, wow, okay. So it's two companies approached me like that in the past month, and I've considered it. A question that popped up is, can a Brinks truck help you with sports, in your opinion? So for those who may be new to my term, I call my work van the Brinks truck because whenever I'm in it, I'm making money. There you go. Marcus in his Brinks truck.
I'm in the Brinks truck.
I'm happy because I'm in it. And whenever I cranked, started up, it makes money. That's the only time I'm in my work van. So, yeah, if you got when we went and shot the Cowboy game, I took the truck. We took the van down there. But, yeah, I like to park the van up front. You know, if your van is labeled to, hey, you know, put a big QR code, click here to get pictures or whatever, it'll definitely help. It's a billboard around a lot of people. So I definitely see how your Brinks truck can help you as a sports photographer as well, especially if you are a brand. So think about it, right? So Ricky took the brand approach. He didn't just say just Ricky Bowden taking pictures. He took the brand approach. He's building a company that is a profitable company that is sellable, that anybody can show up. Remember I told you I didn't want to be Ty Turner Photography because Ty Turner may not always show up. We can send somebody in uniform to show up. So he's building the brand. So, of course, yeah, you want to have labeled trucks. You want to have, like, you got labeled shirts, labeled everything. We was putting stickers on boxes and everything. So you definitely want to go that route. Definitely want to go that route. Andrew says, do local newspapers, news stations normally have photographers, videographers there at college games, or are they getting their footage and images from someone like you?
Yeah, they have the local people are there. They have like affiliates. You know, you got your ABC. It was a big event, so it was a Boombox Classic, the one I just went to. So it's Southern and Jackson State. That's one of the bigger games at HBCU. But they're not at every game like that. There's some games where it's not as big, they're not there. College game day was there, so that's going to obviously attract other outlets. But on a normal HBCU game, there's not a whole heck of a lot of coverage.
And think about it too, the photographers they're sending out usually aren't sports photographers. They're reporting photographers. So they're not going to get the shots that he's going to need. They're not bringing up
E&G stuff.
Yeah. So they're getting these little cheesy little, you know, they trying to shoot the game on a 50 millimeter, you know what I'm saying? F1.8. It's like they're trying to really capture something. So they're not going to get the shots that he get. So, I mean, I think that's important to think about too. So they are your client as well. So, and then we played a long game. You're talking about a whole lot of money. You're talking about intellectual property. You're talking about equity and content. You got to think big with this, because this is a $1 million, you know, maybe even $1 billion idea. You got to think long term and think big with something like this.
You also got to think about acquisition. Other companies, bigger companies, feeling like, oh, we got to do something with this guy, and they come in and offer you money to buy your archive. So that's another thing that could come along with if you building it the right way.
Absolutely. So keep that in mind. It's just the long game. It's doing what you love, and it's better than a 401k. If you think about it, you got more upside than a 401k. So but you have to invest in it like a 401k. That's why I kind of brought that up, is you got to put pennies and dollars into it, and don't worry about it. Like, just do what you love, find ways to grow, find ways to get in front of more people, and continue to, you know, put your foot in it and make it great. What do your archive system look like? Multiple hard drives. So mostly it's the website, but I'll let them tell you about, you know, how you do it.
So I got the website. I also have, I got it on triple things. So it's on the website. I have Dropbox for the HBCU Sports Wire with every game and every image. And I also have SSD external hard drives with every game on them. So I got them backed up three different ways. So that's kind of how I'm running it now. What I will say about the website, and I always tell Ty this, is that I hate building websites, so I'm not the best website builder, but we're going to get to the point. I want to get to the point where I get somebody who can really take that website to the next level, because that's my storefront, because I don't have an actual building. So that's my storefront. And I want it, when people come there, I want them to feel like they're on the Getty Images site. Right now, it's not where I want it to be, but it's functional and it's good enough for what we need as we're building. But that website is important, and he's always told me that to drive that home. And I just hate dealing with him, but it's important because my company is basically web-based at this point. So you want that to look the best as possible. So, so everything, the way the galleries look and all that, I kind of have a say in how that looks. But I really want a professional to really hit it soon. But that's how I archive everything.
And a lot of people saying that a lot of reporters are getting laid off. Yeah, a lot of news stations are slimming down. They're going mostly online, less paper, less subscriptions. You know what I'm saying? Papers, people pay for them. Online, it's free. So they got to find a new way to make money. So they're not going to have 10 photographers on staff. So if you license images, it's a lot cheaper for them to say, hey, let us buy 5 or 6 images from the game, you know, yesterday, than to send a photographer or keep a photographer on staff to go out. So if the students use photos, do they have to pay for them?
That I'm not totally sure, but what I will say is what I am coming across a lot, started to come across in the HBCU realm, is a lot of these sports information directors, they basically use the credential as leverage. And what I mean by that is, so like, hey, we'll credential you for the game, but we need you to send us the images that you get from the game. Now, some people are going to say, no, I won't do that. But I have to do that because I got to continue to have that access, because I can let them get those images. But there's going to be other outlets that still end up paying. What I need is the images, and I need the archive. So sometimes you have to barter like that and give them images in order to get in. And then once you get that relationship built, then you're not going to ever have a problem getting in those games. I had to do it for Jackson State this weekend. I had to give them the images. I got two guys going out to the Texas Southern Jackson State game in Houston. I got two guys shooting that, and I got to give the SID. I got to give him images. I just had a guy go out to North Carolina Central not too long ago. We talked about Central. I had a guy out there. So I got about six or seven guys out there shooting across the United States for me. And I'm meeting guys every time I go, you know, to these things, to these different places to shoot. I'm meeting guys that shoot. And I'm building that network as well. And it's low cost because I don't have to pay anybody anything unless their images sell. So it's no big overhead for me to have guys shooting everywhere. So, but I do need the archives. So that's why I'm still building the team. I heard somebody put in the chat, you know, what do you look for? Hey, you just got to know how to shoot. You got to, I have to look at a portfolio and then make sure that your images are quality and you are ready for that because we are selling these. And I also need somebody who has a pretty high megapixel rating. The reason why I say that is because when people buy the full res images, you want to make sure that it's big enough to do anything that they want to do on it. So with the A1, it's 50 megapixels. I think anything 24 and up is pretty good. So, but that's kind of just what I'm looking for, somebody who's experienced and knows what they're doing. And I look at their portfolio and it looks good. That's what I'm looking for. And again, if you want to give it a shot, send me your resume. Not necessarily your resume, but your portfolio, and we'll go from there.
Mino said, rule out his 5D Mark II. Yeah, you got a 5D Mark II, man. These sports is, you know, a lot of people want to crop images. So even if it's not to blow it up to put it on a picture, it needs to be croppable. And that's something that I learned just working with Ricky, is just, you know, just having a big megapixel image. So if a crop is needed.
That 5D Mark II, what is shooting? 4.5 frames a second?
Yeah, it's 12.9 megapixels. Let's see. The cropping is why I either want the R5 or the A7. The A7 RV is the R5.
You don't necessarily need the A7 R5. If you're going to get a Sony and you're going to shoot sports, it's the A1 because it's got everything.
Yeah.
It's got the sports capability and it has the high megapixel rate. That's the one you want. That A7 R5 is going to be okay. I tried to shoot my A7 R3 because of the high megapixel rate, but it just can't keep up. The focusing system's too slow. It can't keep up. It's because it's not made for that, you know?
So no iPhones. We can use iPhones for reels, though. So there is a place. There is a place for them. I knew Crichton was gonna go 360 with it. That's you know, I knew he was gonna go there. Maybe some. I shot a lot of 360 when we did the Cowboys game, but maybe just some dope interior 360 shots.
There's
at
a place
stadium
for the iPhone on there. I mean, the Jackson State social media team. That's all they shoot with for video. They just use their phones. They got phones that they shoot with. So it's a place for it, but photo wise, no.
Who was that? I think that was Andre said she's doing volleyball for Florida State right now, and he have a contact, and they pay him. The students know because it's a part of the coursework, so the students can't buy it. I'm going to make sure I understand what he's saying about the students. So whenever you get a chance, just post it back in there. Marcus, you got another I know your hand. I don't know if it's hand up from before or if it's a new hand up.
New hand.
Go for it, bro.
Switched over to my computer. I got off the phone. So with that win, right, that's going to allow me to go to your teaching. I want to make sure everyone understands this. Ty teaches, unless you're making 300K or so, roughly, stay in the Brinks truck. I have an opportunity to get into a commercial space for free.
Oh, yeah. Free 99, free. The reason why I say that is because people don't understand the overhead of going to get a location. Usually it's a minimum, what, $2,000-$3,000 plus lights, gas, water, electric, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you really want to put that on your, you know what I'm saying? That's money that can pay your bills at home while you make it. It's, you know, you don't want to take on that overhead if you don't have to, but free is free.
Correct. And that allows me with this opportunities, my business is going to get, when people drive by, and in the location I'm in, there is nothing but construction workers around me. Like for 3.5 blocks, it's nothing but construction, builder supply, lawyers, you name it. So in that, it's in a new area where they're trying to develop and all of that. So it's already a person I have a relationship with. And that's why I want to bring up this win is Ty knows Ricky. It's the relationship, building the brand, building. And I kept following up with him. He moved all the way to North Carolina and moved back. Wow. And I kept in relationship with this guy. And now we just got done with the meeting and more than likely he's going to move forward with this because I went out on my free dime to go find him. Like, hey, here's some spots. I know you're busy. I have free time. Let me go do this. So then this will allow me potential to build you content, which will help me niche down. This will allow me to get my mindset right of not being at home where I want to play the Xbox or mess with the cat or the dog or projects at home, right? Ty's like, yeah, big X. I'm shifting my mindset like, okay, this is plan A. This is all I got. This is all I need. Let's jump in. So that's my major win for this week.
That's a good win. That is a major win. I can't wait to see the place once you get it all set up and hooked up. That's gonna be super dope. Anybody else got any wins they want to share? I'm not gonna keep it on forever tonight. We're gonna run through it because in the near future, it's gonna be just a formal format. What'd you say?
Just to answer the question that I put in the chat, someone was asking, do the interns get paid? And I was saying no, because for many of them, they're doing their end of the year internship. So they're delivering those images to the SID. But there are, like, for example, I'm doing volleyball right now. So I did a contract for 10 games. Mm. So they pay me for that. Prior to that, before I got on, I was doing baseball. And basically, they would just credit me for my photos. And then those would go to the news wires, et cetera. So it really just depends. I know up here, because I'm in Tallahassee, the Democrat has been laying off a lot of personnel. So they only have like two people who basically run to every high school game. They run over to, FAMU, Florida State, to get their pictures or whatnot. Just like right now, I'm the sole photographer at the community college. I cover all of their athletic sports, team and individuals, as well as game. So I was answering the guy's question when he said, do the interns get paid? And the question and the answer is no.
Yeah, again, with them laying off people, it's cheaper for them to license your content. You build the relationships and just be like, here, just license my content or pay me a subscription fee and I'll go out and cover stuff. So that's definitely a win. That's definitely a win. A question that came up from Rodney was, if a company wanted to acquire HBCU Sportswire, is there an offer you'd accept, or is that a sign that you're doing something big and impactful and would decline the offer and maintain ownership?
I mean, I think everybody has a number. I mean, if in anything you do, but I think it'll definitely be a sign that I'm doing something impactful for sure. But yeah, I mean, again, you have to listen to those offers to see what they're talking about. That's just the way it goes. That's in any business. You have to listen. If somebody wants to come and acquire your company, if they're saying they're going to give you a B to get out of there, then okay, here you go. Here's the keys. I'm out. Because, one thing about it, they can do what you do, but it's still not you. But you can still go back and recreate something else. So you can take that capital from what you sold, i.e. Elon Musk selling PayPal to do what he's doing with Tesla and all that stuff. It's the same. It's the way that you have to do it. You take that capital and you go on to the next venture. I mean, but yes, there's always a number for sure.
If I get a call about Flash Film Academy, y'all may come on here. Maybe some guy named Jeff. Like, hey, I'm Jeff using my brass knuckles. I'm going to throat punch you. I'm going to be somewhere on the beach. Like, hey, man, it was a nice number. It was they cut the check. So, but you always want to build a company. You really want to build a company to sell it. I'm not saying you will sell it, but you always want to get, put it in that position because, when it comes to content, you don't know. Somebody may come up and say, look, we're going to offer you $250 million and give you 10% of the company moving forward. You gonna say no to that? I don't think there's a lot of people here who are gonna say no to that. Let's just be real. Right now, in the state that your company in right now, we give you $250 million and 10%. of the company. If y'all got wives, mamas, they're going to be like, we out. What are you doing? Like, you ain't got it like that. So some of y'all do it for $250,000. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you always want to make sure that you, you know, you want to make sure that your business is in a position where if that's a possibility, you can listen.
That also means you can restart, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I'll sell this business. Let me just restart everything all over again.
Absolutely.
And buy the equipment that I really want to have and start over.
And go do it. You can go blow money. If you get $250 million, you can say, I'm going to go blow $20 million on just making movies. I'm just going to make short movies or whatever. I'm going to do whatever I love to do. I'm going to blow the interest off the money. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I could start the Power 5 Sports Wire.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean.
And that's why you have to have all your systems and processes together. Absolutely. You have those together. Boom. You number one, you've already had it together to where you've gotten to that level. But then you can just sell it. You could just start it right back up if you wanted to, or change to another completely different niche.
Yeah.
But have a similar type model. Bang.
I mean, Elon Musk. One thing
somebody did say to me. I'm sorry to cut you off. No, one thing somebody did say to me, and I had to think about it. How's the HBCU sports wire going to look when Deion Sanders accepts a job at a Power 5 school? When he leaves the HBCU realm, is it still going to be the same? Is it still going to be lucrative? Is it still going to be worth covering those games? And I say that I think in that event, everybody's going to jump ship. I'm going to stay because they're still going to want to reach back and see how those teams are doing. They you know, they're still going to want to see what's going on. They're still going to need the content. So I had to think about that. I was like, yeah, it's going to be different when he leaves, but I'm staying because it's still something there.
That's a win. And again, go back to systems and processes. Got to have it in place. Got to have your website in place. They're not coming to buy your gear. You can have a ton of gear. They're not making an offer on your depreciating used gear. They want the business. So build the business.
Yep.
Right? Look at it as intellectual property. It is property. It is may not be tangible, but it is property. It grows in value. Just my domains alone grow in value. Yeah, you could pay $7 a month for a domain at GoDaddy, but once you start growing the company, that domain is bringing in a certain amount of views, and that domain is worth $10,000-$15,000 just alone. So you got to think about, like, you know, the business and the property that is that business, and make sure you got your paperwork right. Make sure you got your paperwork right. So that's definitely. Crichton, was that a new hand or old hand?
No, it's a new hand.
Oh, go for it, bro.
You know, like, and honestly, I want to say thank you to both Utah and Ricky, because, you know, as somebody who's mainly done the high school level of this stuff, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm taking notes. I'm like, okay, this is the next level, you know, and I will attest to everything you said, because I have an HBCU Prairie View right down the street. I did a game there. They had no idea what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. That you know, like that. Hold on. I actually got a new Arca Swiss rail that I was putting on. So I didn't have this out for flexing or anything. But I'm carrying this thing around, and they didn't even know where the media will call was, and they sent me to the wrong gate.
That happens to me all the time. Okay, it happens to me almost every week.
I don't feel bad then.
So, Crichton, tell them what your MOS was in the Army.
46 Quebec.
There you go. So you already know. He's one of those guys.
I
got tired of hand holding this because the focus ring was biting into my hand. So I got a lens coat, and this thing is so much nicer in the hand. When you go to hand hold it, but
pulling out the big,
no, the but the
that question video that you doing with it or the photos?
That's an R3. When I flip it on to video, it's rare, but I do it every now and then. Okay.
When I want to pull out the big guns, I pull out this big right here. And
I was like, what?
I shoot with this, you know what I'm saying?
It's not a band.
I shoot with this when I need to really zoom in to somebody's pupil. When I need to check and see if they got cataracts from across the field, I pull out this and I do it. Now, this is actually a fan that I keep right off camera when it's hot, but it looks dope, don't it?
You know, at first I thought it was a blimp for you.
Because it got the red ring, it looked like it's something special, but it ain't.
Yeah. Let me put that back here. That's it.
It's getting a little warm here.
But with these sports information directors, when they say that they want pictures from you, what are you providing? Are you just saying, hey, I got these pretty pictures of the grass, and or are you actually giving them something that's going to be potentially valuable?
No, I'm giving them good images, because again, either way you look at it, when they use the images, I still say, hey, I'm going to give you images, but please, you know, make sure that you give us credit for the images that we use. So I still give them images because they need it. They just don't have it. And like you said, you know, with the sports information directors, like, those guys don't answer emails. You know, you're sitting back all week waiting to hear if you got your credential approved. And then they wait till Friday night and send you an email, and the game's Saturday. So it's like, these are the type of things that we deal with over here. But just, they're just not used to having to accommodate, media, and, you know, their media workrooms are the size of closets. And it's just a lot of things that they have to fix. But I knew that going into it. So, you know, I was expecting it to be that way.
Especially if you're traveling. Like, traveling has been, you know, it's hard when you're dealing with, you know, last minute.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to travel because I live in Florida. Like, I went to Jackson. I didn't get my credential request until Thursday. However, I've been bought my ticket because he told me a while ago that he was going to credential me. But still, I don't take that by, you know, that phone call stuff. I need it in black and white. So if I get up to the stadium and be like, hey, we ain't got no credential for you, I can show him an email. They were approved. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. I'm supposed to go to Daytona this week to Bethune-Cookman's homecoming. They play Alabama State. Still haven't heard from the SID. So the game's Saturday. But again, that's just a 2.5-hour drive. So that's not too bad. But when I got to travel across the country, like, I got Bayou Classic coming up. That's Grambling and Southern in Louisiana. Haven't heard from them, but I got to make accommodations. So I'm waiting to hear from them. So it gets tough when it relates to that type of stuff. But again, it's something that I'm willing to suffer through because I understand that they don't really understand how it all works. And you just got to be a little patient with them, you know, because again, we're playing a long game.
Do you see any opportunity for consultant work with these schools if the opportunity presents itself?
I think the opportunity is there if a person will market themselves in that way. I think a lot of in the HBCU realm, it's a little different than Power Five. Power Five have, you know, every time I've, you know, gotten a credential from a Power Five school, I send an email, I get a response like that because that's their job. That's what they do. A lot of times on the HBCU side, yeah, you might have an SID, sports information director, but he may be doing 5, 6, 7 other things, and he may be the SID for every sport that they have. So that's probably why he didn't answer your email right away, because he got a million different things just because they don't have the line items to, you know, have somebody for every sport and all that kind of stuff. So it's just drastically different because of the resources that the schools have versus Power Five schools. So, yeah, because I'll be going up to Florida to shoot FAMU versus the Gators women's basketball on Monday. So, you know, they got right back with me and had everything ready to go. So it's just a part of it. It's a part of it. And I understood that getting into it. Mm-hmm. But the consultant side, there is an untapped market for that. Because, like, Jackson State is going to have been approved to get a new stadium in Mississippi. They need a media consultant to tell them, hey, this is what you need at that stadium for media. You know, you need this. You know, the room needs to be this big. You need a room just for interviews. You need a room for the photographers or the working media to work. You know, you need, what are the things for the internet? You need Ethernet ports all around the stadium. Yep. All that. They don't know that.
Got to have those drops.
A media consultant to tell them, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, just to give time. Imagine that this year is probably going to be on the podcast. But just to give you all a frame of reference, so last night I went to a high school volleyball game, and I had my credentials, and I'm walking up, and there's the ticket, the gate guy, whatever, right? And I just, you know, it was hanging around my chest. I just flipped it around like that. He saw me. He pointed, and I didn't even have to go through the gate. I a lot of times I don't have to go through the metal detector because, honest to goodness, you're going to set off a metal detector. But at certain high schools, they have this figured out. And so, you know, I'm able to just walk up, and I'm already credentialed with a couple school districts, and just flash the badge. And if they're media savvy, they have this figured out. There's a football stadium down in Katy, and it's right next to their old one. The new one actually has a media room with all those Ethernet drops that Ricky's talking about. And we'll have the Houston Chronicle or whoever is out there covering the football game. And the only way the only people who have access to it are the administrators and the media, because that's how we access the field. And for us, hey, if it's halftime or whatever, we don't have to go up to the press box. We don't have to go. We just jump right in, and you can have your laptop up there. You don't have to worry about it walking off. Everything ready to go. Slap your cards in. Everything that Ricky's been talking about tonight, man, it's all the truth. And to go up places where that they're not used to this, it is a pain in the neck. But you know, because you know, when you're walking up with all this equipment, it gets heavy after a while.
After a while,
but anyhow,
once you shoot it like a Dallas Cowboy game, it's hard going down from there, boy. Because they feed you good, yeah. They treat you. It's hard going down from that because they got a whole. The food alone, like people don't understand, yeah. Like the media got their own like buffet. They got their own food area that's different than the regular people. And they feed you and they treat you good. And you get like, it's hard getting that good food. And you go to get some stadium food somewhere else. It's rough. So, you know,
they had no food at Jackson. I ate at my hotels 7 in the morning and I didn't eat again until probably 7 at night when I got back. They had no food in there, but they don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. But you live and you learn. You live and you learn, man. That's you know. Again, you know, I like to make sure that you guys come here. You can take. We want to skip the line and gain an experience and get experience from each other and people who are in the industry and other content creators who are going for it and going after it. Because I think it's important that you guys rub shoulders and be around that mindset and not the guy that's just waiting on a photographer. We got a lot of friends, you know, we come from a company full of photographers who just wanted to get a job, or they took the job because they thought it was easy, or they just took the lazy route and did portraits in the park, you know what I'm saying? And call themselves, you know, whatever Smith Photography. Like they weren't thinking like we were thinking about this thing, about, you know, they didn't have a bigger idea, or they just didn't see what we saw when it came to creating content and how we would use it to go places and get behind ropes and behind stage. And you know what I'm saying? They wasn't thinking forward like we were thinking. And we were like, dude, y'all slow. We out of here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can stay where y'all at. We about to take off. And they would just sit back and watch and be like, wow, like how'd y'all do that? How'd y'all do this? How'd y'all do that? And it was because we had the drive to do it. And we just thought differently about where content could take us. And here we are. So yeah, that it's important that you guys, you know, you gotta be around people that's thinking big, because being around a lot of small minded people will have you thinking small, or thinking medium, thinking you're thinking big, and you realize that ain't it, Chief. That had you buying gear so you can shoot in 8K, and you ain't got a client that requests 8K yet. You ain't got a client that'll take 720p from you, but you're trying to do 8K. So, you know, I know Marcus had his hand up for another win. We'll jump on him before we get ready to close out, because I ain't gonna keep y'all too long. Go for it, bro. You got a good win. Let's hear it.
Another phone call win on live. Streak continues.
That's what's up. Mario used to be the man, but now you beat him out for the
Now I spoke to Mario today. That man is so busy, he ain't got time to come on.
I understand. That's how it gets. That's how it gets. Yeah.
But just got another win after months and months of L's. Consistency, following up. But it's wonderful.
Love a good one. We got two hands that popped up real quick. I'm gonna jump to y'all questions before I fade out. Let's start with Tyler.
All right. So I got a long term win that's been in the process.
Okay.
Today is my 1 year anniversary of being at the marketing for the Golf Center, and they just said they want to go 95% video marketing now.
Wow. Yeah.
They get so I've rounded a whole year of doing this all by myself now.
That's definitely a win. Cause I remember when you said, "Hey Ty, I listened to you," and I came and I got everybody there fired and they hired me. I remember you said that pretty much the short version of that. But
yep. And now I've had two marketing companies come in and they're coming for my throat. And, the owner told them straight up, like, we're going 95% video marketing. And you should have seen their faces when they came out of the meeting. They were staring at me like, oh, my God. Like, they thought they had me.
They offering a pie in the sky. And you're actually there to capture content. You know the business. You know the brand. You are around. So, yeah, you can always win that. Right.
And yeah, we partnered up on the content creation just for flyer ads. Mm-hmm. And so we work with Golf Now, who's with NBC Universal. And the owner shows me, like, do you see, like, how this marketing that they do just doesn't work? Like, he was showing me the frustrations with it. And then he sees what happens when we do video advertisements. The reactions and the impressions are totally different.
That needs to be on your website. That testimonial of him sitting in front of that computer showing you how his marketing didn't work and what happens when he hired you. That testimonial, okay. That mini documentary, that 30-second, 60-second documentary needs to be on your website. So when people second guess whether or not they should work with you, you have a client saying, this is what we did. We weren't getting results and we got with this company and things took off. We're even still getting companies to come in and want to do for us, but we have something that works here and we're going to stick with it. So that needs to be something you need to capture as a testimonial to show proof on your website.
Okay.
Definitely. And next time you go play golf, let us know so we can bring our bags and all of that. We can go out there with you. Get a few in. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
Get a few in. I know we had, okay, we got who? We got Tat up next. And then we're going to go to Alex. Close out on Alex. What's going on with you?
I got one win.
Oh, let's hear that win. Hold on. It didn't involve, shootouts in Chicago and nothing like that, because I've been reading the news.
Yeah. I ain't been doing no music videos.
Oh, okay, cool. You good.
I told you that last one was that last one. I ain't messing with it no more, but I got one win, but it ain't got nothing to do with B2B. It was just something that I learned from you, like, I had made a proposal for this photo shoot, and I ended up hiring a photographer I knew. Ain't really have to pay him too much, and then I just made shoot like $600 profit off of him.
And it was like the middleman. You just like directed.
I was just watching. I ain't do nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. That's definitely a win right there. That's letting your money work for you. So your brand attracted the client. You outsourced it and got the big check. That's what it's about.
Definitely. And then I try to do a little something. Like, I try to do, like, a Halloween photo shoot. But, too, ain't nobody would come for that one. So, too, pictures came out good for me then. So, I've just been trying to make a lot of connections out here. But I'm still going to get that module one, though, because that's the only thing I really want.
Well, yeah, just wait about what's today's date? The 2nd? Just wait till about like right after Thanksgiving. You'll see. But you know, that's what's up. To be the middle, hey, it's great when you can sit back and point at stuff and make money. That's the ultimate goal. And that's what I tell you. That's why it's important to build that brand. You can outsource camera work. I can get a million people that can take pictures. I can't get a million people that understands how to brand a business to attract that client. Yep. So, you know, Crichton said he on module three and he just did the van selection a day or two ago. Yeah, that you're going to learn a lot in module three when they talk about transportation and cars. It's a lot of stuff you need to know. A lot of stuff I ain't know. But yeah, that's the way to do it. Is to build that brand so you can the clients will come in. I mean, that's what big companies like Uber do, Thumbtack do. All they do is attract clients and delegate it to you, and they make money not going nowhere. It, you know, like a franchise. So that's a good
one. I'm trying to learn how to use Thumbtack though, but I end up vlogging the whole thing, so I'm gonna show y'all.
Yeah, post that in the member section. I would love to see it. All right. I'm sure you're gonna put it on the YouTube first and then post the link so we can check it out.
I guess.
So you can get some subscribers and some likes and get some views off that bad boy. Definitely do that. But I like that. I'm proud of that. That's what I like to hear. That's a good win right there, Tad. That's what I'm talking about. I thought you was gonna say you recorded a music video and you had to hit somebody with a two-piece and a biscuit, and they finally came through with the break. I thought you was going to say my man's last time who was, you know what I'm saying, we talked about who was trying to get you to shoot it for the low. I thought he came through, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I almost forgot about him, but that video ended up getting back on my channel, but I ain't talked to him ever since, so I'm just leaving it be. I ain't saying nothing to him. He ain't saying nothing to me, so I left it over there.
That's what's up. But yeah, congratulations on the win. Them the best wins to get when you ain't got to lift a finger. That's a flawless victory right there. That's what that is.
That's that. Hopefully I get some more. Well, yeah. Not hopefully, I know, but I'm trying to get some more real soon. So
where's my button for that?
Flawless victory.
That's what that is. So yes, definitely celebrate that. Let me see. We got one more. We got Alex. Let Alex jump on here real quick. Alex, go for it, brother.
I just have a question. I need help with pricing.
Okay.
It's a cleaning company. I did their headshots, all of the CEOs and all that. So we started talking about social media. So they wanted to know what are the options for pricing for video, which I've shot a lot of weddings as far as video, but nothing commercial wise. And so I'm not really sure what to charge them. They wanted two different pricing, one to do a one time and another thing to do a subscription.
Okay. So, and this is something that I kind of break down. I'm going to say end of module one, beginning of module two. So that's the thing, is trying to understand, are we doing long term or short term? Short term is going to be a lot higher. Short term, you know, it, and a lot of things you got to think about too when you start to go into pricing. Because I shot a janitorial company. And this company had, they had a contract with airports. They did a lot of airports. So with that, we were in a lot of locations at once. You know, we shot in this airport multiple days. So those are things that you got to kind of take in consideration. How many days are we shooting? Like how much shooting is involved? It's not because a wedding, you can show up. It's a one-time gig all day, 8 hours. But if you're going to be in multiple locations, if you're going to be in, you know, multiple days, those are things that we need to consider when we are pricing something like that. I use structure based, so I'm using, you know, 60% up front is the first hour, and then dividing the remaining percentage out by the remaining hours of the day. That's just how I do it, plus upsells. So it just depends on now. And what I will do is take a percentage off of that if we're going to do a subscription base where we're doing 6, 8, you know, 12 months, I'll take 25% off, or make it where you're paying for 10 months and you get 2 months free. So it just depends on the client and what I feel looks better for the client. But a lot of that is, you know, we're going to bill you in chunks once a month, usually on the first of the month. And then my shoot date is usually set up for the 15th. I've done that because it gives time for their card not to go through two or three times before I got a solid shot. I got a solid date on my calendar. That's just me. I want to know that the money went through and we can move forward. I don't want to have the money come out on the first and we film on the first. I get there and film and the money's not paid. And then I'm waiting on the client. So I like to bill them in advance, unless they're a really big client. Now, if you're talking about a really big cleaning company and you ain't worried about it, if it's, you know, if it's a company I'm working with, American Airlines, I ain't going to trip. It, you know what I'm saying? But if it's just the smaller the company, the more I need paid before I get there. That's just me.
They have some big accounts like Verizon,
okay,
and the Postal Service and things like that.
So this is
Basically said they want something very basic. We're not talking about two people or anything like that. I mean, it probably can be just done with an iPhone. They just want somebody to go out, shoot people cleaning, and then later on maybe do some tips and things like that, cleaning tips.
But be careful, because their idea of basic is still camera, stabilizer, voiceover, graphics, lower, you know what I'm saying? Like, their idea of basic is still a lot. Because I was brought in to shoot recruiting videos that they wanted was basic, was recruiting videos, but it turned into more training videos for the client, which also turned into headshots, which also turned into commercial photography because of the relationship with the client. So what I would do is give them an example of what basic is and then give them the ability to upsell into other things. So maybe shoot a sample video that's just, you know, hey, this is just sample video, no graphics, no color correction, nothing. That's basic at this price point. And then upsell them to, this is what the intro graphics look like with royalty-free music. And here is what, you know, this is iPhone. This is what we bring, a camera, a team, a crew. You know what I'm saying? Also, a big thing to upsell with them is if you're doing voiceover, offering in multiple languages, right? Because a lot of cleaning companies, if you say, hey, we can do this in English and Spanish, they like, let's do it. So those are just ideas that I've learned with working with janitorial services. Another thing too, depending on where their contracts are, that's another one of the jobs where if you have a background check to present as a part of your portfolio, it helps. Depending on where they have contracts, if they have contracts in places where there's kids, if they have contracts in places where Verizon got a lot of inventory, it helps to look like did not have a, you know, all kind of stuff on your record. I mean, those are places that if you have this, it helps. I when I shot in the airport, you know, we were behind security lines. So for me to have a background check to show them that we're serious about security really helped me land the gig. And they felt comfortable and they felt safe. And especially if you're in a situation where it may be you and some of their female workers, or it always helps because usually when they hire cleaning companies, like, they want their cleaning companies to be secure. They want, you know, a secure cleaning company. You're usually in places where there's nobody watching or a camera or by yourself. So security is important to that cleaning company when they land a client, to know that you understand that, and maybe some OSHA laws or OSHA, you know, you understand how OSHA work and things like that. To walk in a door with that understanding will definitely help you not only land a client, but them understanding that you know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what to charge.
So do you currently have a day rate?
Do I currently have a day rate?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
what do you charge for 8 hours of wedding work?
For 8 hours of wedding, I come out with about 2,000.
Okay. The way I usually structure it, is a percentage of that is going to be your first hour,
which is the 60%.
Yeah, it can be as low as 30%.
Okay.
And then the remaining, let's say 70%, we're going to divide that up by the remaining 7 hours of that day. The reason I do that is because if it takes an hour to shoot, you still made a good amount of money. You're happy to get out of bed. And that usually includes setup, tear down, you know, with the client, and they totally travel sometimes. If it's within a certain area, they totally understand it. It makes more sense than saying, right, you don't want to get there and you don't want to map it out hourly. The client tell you, oh, it's just quick. And you get there and it is quick. You're done in 30 minutes. And then they're like, well, did you take off the half? You know what I mean? And then you made $40 for the shoot. No, the first hour we come out and set up is our base hour. It's this amount plus each additional hour. If it go over, the client has a clear understanding of what overage looks like. So it helps it make sense for the client.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem, bro. No problem. So, yeah, pricing is, I tell people, like I said, when you present your proposal, give them upsells. Like, give them things that they can click on that may help them. You know, one I use all the time, which I almost upsell with every single client that has talking points, is a teleprompter. Go get you an iPad teleprompter off Amazon for $100 and rent that bad boy out for $200 to $300 per pop. It will teleprompter you should make in his lifetime. You should make $5,000 off $100 teleprompter easily. And you can get the remote to go with it and everything. It's too easy. Because people can't, they think they can memorize some stuff, but you give them two sentences. And I keep teleprompter in the van because a lot of people who say no upgrade right on the spot. They upgrade right in the middle of a shoot. It's happened to me way more times to the point where I was like, man, I got to keep it on me because people get here and they reading and they get frustrated and they like, man, give me the damn teleprompter. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff, wireless video transmission so that clients can watch it on set. A lot of things that I keep in the van that are upsells specific to that job type. And there you go, $400 to $500 for the teleprompter. I usually charge a base rate as well, $350 for the first hour, $100 for each additional hour. We got an 8-day shoot. Guess what? I've just made $1,000 just on having a teleprompter there that I keep in my van. It's an extra rack, extra $1,000 in my pocket this month or this shoot or this week. There's your car note, insurance, and your light bill just for having a $100 teleprompter available. So, you know, those are little things that I'm telling you, it just add up. And when you make it make sense for a client, like I said before, I don't have to ask you what's your budget. They'll click and check and add stuff up there, you know, on their own to get everything they need for their content. So, and that's something that you also want to, you know, a benefit of subscription is, hey, we'll hold on to footage in case you guys decide to do training videos next year. We got footage that we recorded as B-roll that may help. We'll hold on to footage for future projects. That's a benefit of doing a subscription with this. Those are little things that you got it that are just upsells or just little stars or asterisks that a client is like, man, because there isn't a client in the world that just needs one video. They just don't understand what they need, and they don't they're not thinking long term. But and that's fine, because remember, I told you the thing I love to hear clients say the most is, I never thought about that. Hey, when you guys go to shoot a recruiting video, this footage that we captured in month one will help us with that. Or over time, as we're shooting video for you every month, we're able to create social media content from bits and pieces we've had. So those are things that you want to think about as we move forward, because this content is valuable to you, not just today, but in the future. You don't want us to have to come back out to re-record a panning shot of your location when we already captured it 2 months ago. You know, so these are things that you want to bring to the attention of your client, and just drop little seeds, little nuggets, so they can start to think about, you know, hey, you're right. This one video is going to last us a short period of time. We're going to need more. And even when you go to these meetings and you talk about long-term content subscription, start talking about holidays. What are you guys doing for Christmas? You don't have any Christmas branded content? Your footage still got people in masks, depending on where you are in the country. You may be in an area like Texas, they don't, mask is out the door. They don't care. If your footage still got people in masks, it may turn people off. So I don't know where you are, you know what I'm saying? Certain places in the country or certain businesses, things change like that. And you need to make sure that your client is in a position to stay up to date on their images, their video, everything. You know what I'm saying? So those are ideas that you kind of want to pitch to a client, or at least mention or talk about. And it shows that you have experience. You've been doing this for a while. You can almost predict the future. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, Christmas time, we want to drop a lot more content because people are home on Christmas break and they're bored. January, February, we want to do this type of content. So as you know, January, people are looking for jobs, right? They're broke from Christmas. They're starting to put out resumes. They're getting resumes rewritten. When I worked at Career Builder, we sold more resume writing in January than ever, because people were just like gyms, right? Gyms take off in January because people got New Year's resolutions. They want to get back in the gym. They want to work out. Well, jobs work the same way. Everybody know that new fiscal year budgets open up. Companies are starting to hire for the year. So our recruiting video needs to be done and up by December. our training videos need to be in the works. So when you bring in that first class of new recruits for that training class on January 30th or 23rd, we have content. Or we need to be in place to capture that training session that you already hired somebody to train for, so you don't have to hire them again. And we can show this video to your recruits and everybody can get the same lesson. So those are things that you may want to bring to, and that's why you get in the door with your niche and you do so much more when you develop that relationship. And that's why subscription basis. Hey, when we come back to do these things that we have ideas for in the future, I already have a bucket of content that we've been capturing over time to help make that video look a whole lot better, because we have a ton of B-roll and we have different shots of different people in different environments cleaning. It helps me create better content for you. So not only are you saving money by going to subscription, you're consistent with your content. It helps me create better content in the future. And it's just all around greater value, and we can get you prepared for different holidays or different times of year. So it's a win-win situation for a business who they know they're going to need more content. Let's just not beat around the bush about it. And let me get that whole bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me get that whole check from, you know, this idea. So, that's janitorial companies, especially big ones. They spend a lot of money in headshots. It's huge. Right, the headshots is huge for their website. So those are things that those upsells can be layups, man.
Hey, Ty, this is Josh. This is my second time on here. I'm a new guy.
So, oh yeah, welcome, Josh.
Sorry, I was running late. I had church tonight. So, anyway, I was just wanting to ask: could you back up to again and where you were talking about the first hour being the base rate of 30%? I missed that part.
So I go into it a lot in detail in module one. And the thing is, your first hour is usually 30 to 60% of your pay. That way it protects you. One, it present it to the client, right? They don't know about day rate. They don't know about none of that stuff, right? They just want to hire you and want to know what it costs. So to the client, what they're getting in that first hour of base pay, right? That's typically where I'm talking about the image quality and stuff. We're going to shoot it in 4K. Just say hypothetically. Let's say if it's 1080p. They don't care. But I'm listing this here, right? For the price of the first hour, we're going to come out, set up. You're going to get 1080p at 30 frames per second. Now, you're going to get single cam, or the base rate is higher if I do multi-cam. So all of that is included in that first hour. Build and tear down is what's included in that base rate. Plus, you got additional hours. So if a client say, well, you know, our first interview is at 9, we can't get John off the phone to do his interview till 12. I know I'm charging you from 9 to 12 base rate plus those hours. You know what the price is going to be. We probably go over that a little bit because John, we got to take some time to record John, but the client has an idea that makes sense. I never give my client one price for a project because it don't make sense. Well, what if I want to add this? Well, how do you divide it up to make it make sense to the client? Well, that's funny. We want to shoot at this one place and I was up 3,000 just because we want to do this. You know what I'm saying? So when you make it make sense for a client, they can put the pieces together. Now in module one, I even talk about how that base rate may change based on multiple camera angles, multiple people that you're bringing. Are we adding a drone? Are we doing study cam? Like, that base rate fluctuate depending on the size of my staff and the tools that I need. So that's why when you talk to a client and you're starting to learn that, oh, we need to shoot over multiple days, well, those base rates per day. I need a 3-man crew on the second day, a 2-man crew on the first day, a 4-man crew on the fourth day. So now I know how to sit down with that base rate for each amount of people in our crew and come up with a price where when I present it to my client, they like, oh, it's 4 people here on Monday. That's why that base rate is higher than Tuesday. We only got 2 people on set. But Tuesday, you're here longer because y'all got more work to do. You know what? Maybe I'll take 4 people on both days so that we can get through it quicker. So things like that clients look at, and it makes, like, when you ain't got to go and pitch to them and, all right, and the price, when they can look at it and it makes sense, and they can take it to their boss and it makes sense, and he could take it to his boss and it makes sense, they'll sign off on checks quick. If you got to be there to pitch why this price went from 2,000 to 4,000, and it don't make sense, you're going to confuse them and possibly lose the sale. Making it make sense, just like when you go to McDonald's, they tell you the price of extra pickles. They tell you the price of extra onions. They tell you the price of another patty. They don't give you a snowball price. This is a double cheeseburger. And this is a single, you know what I'm saying? Like, they make it make sense. So that way they're not making assumptions. You're not making assumptions. And when they do the math, it adds up. Whenever they can break it down and do the math, when you go buy a car, that's why they give you the itemized bill. Yeah, a Mustang GT is $40,000, but what looks better is seeing that the base car is $28,500. You added leather for $800. You added a manual for $200 to $2,000. You got the good upgrade tires. Like, it makes sense to you as to why your Mustang is $48,000 and somebody else's is $38,000. Instead of just saying two Mustang GTs, $138,000 and $140,000. Now you got to investigate that this one got leather and this one don't. Or why is he got the sport package? Or like, what do he got? That's why you want to itemize it. Because any big purchases you ever make in life is itemized. You buy a house, it's itemized. You know what your closing cost is. You know what the cost of the house is. You know what the taxes are. Anything big is itemized. People don't feel comfortable spending a lot of money and it's just a blurb and a big price. They want it itemized. And when you itemize it, if you go over their budget, instead of them saying, no, I don't want to do business with you, they'll say, can I take this off? Can we take that off? I really don't have a budget. Or, you know, and vice versa. Their budget may be a certain amount, but if they know adding onions is another 60 cents, I may do it. I may go over my budget because it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense for me to go over my budget because I can see where my money's going. So that's why itemizing is a big game changer when it comes to your proposals to your client. And keep in mind, the person that you may be submitting a proposal to may not be the decision maker. So that proposal needs to sell without you. The last thing you want is this person taking something to the decision maker saying, it's $5,000. I don't know why it's $5,000. It's just $5,000. And then that decision maker saying, hey, what if we shoot another day? What is that going to be? I don't know. I got to go back and ask them. Hopefully we can, I got to go back and see what that would cost. So itemize it, submit a legitimate proposal to a client where they can add some. And I'll tell you this, and I'll get ready to wrap. I'll tell you this. That is the art of submitting a $500 proposal and coming back with a $10,000 client. Especially if you want something like Thumbtack, especially like submitting a proposal that's low, that has the potential to go higher. That's the key to it. Having a proposal where they can just click and check. And a company that does this well, and this company I use a lot, is Apple. What they tell you, iPhone start at $249. Not when you get the bigger screen and get the iPhone Pro Max and you add 28 gigabytes to it. Now you're spending $1,500. That's how they get you. It works every single time. Domino's say you can get a medium one topping pizza for $5.99. What you do? You add bacon to it. You add pineapples to it. They don't tell you to add all of that stuff. They make it available. You add it. Now your $5.99 pizza $12. Your budget was probably $6, but you like, I splurged two extra dollars for some pineapples. I splurged two extra dollars for some bacon. I got it. What's up? So, and you get there and your piece of $12 and you're not mad. But if I would have asked you your budget, you would have told me $6. That's why I don't do the budget approach. I'm going to give you reasons to make you spend what I want you to spend. And if I give you good enough reasons, you're going to do it. But it goes back to being niche, because what's a good reason for your client is not a good reason for another client. You know what I'm saying? What's a good reason for a janitorial service may not be a good reason for a dentist. That's why it's so important that you live within your niche and you know who your audience is. You know what I'm saying? Some people, when girls buy cars, they don't care about a V6 or a V8. They don't. They just like, yeah, I'll take it. As a guy, you probably care about a V6 or a V8. It's important to you. I want the growl. I want the V8. I see a lot of girls buy V6 Mustangs and they think they got the fast one. And they don't know. Because that's just not what's important to them. Vice versa, there are girls who spend hundreds of dollars on makeup that we will walk by and be like, what? Even if your girl sent you to the store to get makeup, you will walk past this makeup and she know exactly what it is, why it costs more, why it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get it. So different strokes for different folks. That's why it's so important that you understand who you're selling to and you can build your pricing, you know, to accommodate them or where it makes sense for them. But that's my rant on pricing. I ain't going to keep y'all all day. My allergy is killing me, too. You probably can hear my nose. I'm sounding like a trombone over here. It's all good. Still human. So we're gonna do this again next week. I want to make sure that I want to also thank Ricky for being a part of the show today. We're going to probably bring him on more often. I know, people have been asking about more photography and sports photography. We got some changes that's coming. We got some things that I'm working on. My goal is always to do more for gold members and to grow this thing and to find ways that I can continue to help you guys and you guys can continue to help each other grow the community and get the information you need to be successful. So we're going to definitely do that. Got some new faces in here. I want to say what's up to the new faces. I see y'all. Don't think I don't see y'all. I'm watching. I see y'all in here. You know, I want to appreciate y'all for being a part of the gold membership. And this is, you know, this is what it's about. Rubbing elbows and, kind of help you get some experience and get more experience so you can skip the line and kind of grow your business. So with that being said, I'm going to ask y'all to be safe. We're going to do it again this time next week. Different topic. But we're going to, you know, we're going to chop it up. All right. Everybody like, yeah. Y'all be safe. I'll see y'all next week.
You've been listening to Content and Cash Plus, a Flash Film Academy podcast. Stay up to date at flashfilmacademy.com. As always, be inspired, be creative, be profitable.